Right. I was thinking the other day about words. The words that we used to use as part of our familiar part of our daily conversations, but seem, I think, to have disappeared from the vocabulary nowadays. Just think of one word in particular that I suddenly remember the other day, the word wuss. Remember the word wuss? Do you, I never hear the word wuss anymore. We used to say to one another when we met up, all right, wuss? Or, you know, it also was used actually as a slightly derogatory term as well. I do hope, and Tudor's not here, but I do hope it's not a swear word. But I met a man a few years back who used to call his dog wuss. So I asked him what it meant, and he said, oh, it means servant or slave. So there we are, it's not a swear word. But it had a kind of feel about it, I think, that you didn't think it was quite the right thing to say. But that, nevertheless, it was part of normal, everyday language. There are other words, too, that have seemed to have lost their kind of, their you know, lost their use. One is, I came across the other day, spangle. Remember spangles? I looked it up, but actually it's not a boiled sweet. But actually it's these pretty little things that you wear, women wear sometimes of their person, jewellery, in other words. Or in other words, bangle. I don't come across the word bangle anymore. Do you come across that? It's bracelets now, isn't it? No, so there's words like that, wuss and spangle and bangle. They seem to have fallen out of common day use. And within the everyday language of the Christian as well, there are certain words that you don't find crop up very much, if at all, when we talk about Christian things. You don't hear them much in sermons or even in books on the subject. In fact, it seems to be almost an intention to drop them from the language. They are a group of words which roughly kind of are related to one another. The words patience, perseverance, and endurance. Patience, perseverance, endurance. When we hear them perhaps in other contexts, maybe you've heard them a lot in terms of the Chilean miners and what they had to put up with for all that length of time they were down the mines. Or sometimes you'll hear about other heroic feats of endurance, or maybe people who have had to put up with suffering for a long time. You may hear it in those contexts, but they tend to be rather extreme situations and not everyday usage. And it's the same with Christians. You don't hear those words used very much indeed. In fact, we probably prefer words like, I don't know, victory or miraculous, or even user-friendly, or those two words. But not only is it a shame that they have fallen out of usage, but I think that our experience as Christians is going to be severely impoverished if we don't somehow find a way of putting them back into our vocabulary and engaging with them and understanding how centrally important they are in the Christian faith. In fact, I don't think you really can fully, was the word enjoy, live the Christian faith until and unless you come to terms with these words, patience and faith and endurance. Christianity will always be a struggle for us if we always expect the immediate, or indeed the immediately miraculous. If we think that the things that we do as Christians should come to us easily or quickly, and we don't have to patiently endure things. I think we will miss out on much that the Christian life has to offer. Just a few verses from the Bible, for example, give us an understanding of this. Take Matthew 24, verse 13. Jesus says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. Now you flip that over, put it into the negative, and it's a good thing to do sometimes. You look at these positive commands of Jesus, you flip it over to the negative. And what happens then to those who give up or fall away? What happens to those who do not endure to the end? There's an implication there that they will not be saved, isn't there? Those who don't keep up the Christian faith and fall away. If you read a bit further on from our reading this morning, from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, if you go forward a few verses, you will come across here a man called Demas. Paul says, do your best, he says to Timothy, to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. And if you follow through Demas in Philippians and Colossians, you find that he was an integral part of Paul's mission in the early days, helping him to set up churches, being accompanying him on his missionary journeys. And here he is, right when Paul is on the verge of being executed, really, Demas suddenly finds he can't stay the pace, and he gives up. We don't know what happened to him afterwards, but certainly at that point in his spiritual journey, he's given up. Or if you look at, for example, Hebrews chapter 12, the first few verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance or endurance the race that is set before us. Did you know that you and I are in a race? And that the race is such that you will only achieve a crown if you get to the end of that race. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful people, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Here is Jesus, a wonderful example to us of endurance and patience with suffering, who at the end of it all, we're told, received for his efforts a crown of life. One of my favorite sayings is of William Penn, who was a Quaker who founded Pennsylvania. And he said, talking about his own experiences, but also as it mirrors that in the Bible, he said, "No cross, no crown. No cross, no crown." I think that should be at the head of our lives, really. No cross, no crown. Patience, endurance, and perseverance. And the same theme is taken up by his brother James, who tells us that the way that we handle trials with patience and endurance really is the means that God uses to deepen our faith. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. In other words, perseverance is the way towards Christian maturity and the deepening of our faith and a relationship with God and with his church. So someone, James is saying that a Christian is somebody who undergoes rigorous training in order for he or her she to develop a depth of character that mirrors that of the Lord whom they follow, Jesus. And the opposite, says James, is the one who is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not think they will receive anything from the Lord, but they are double-minded and unstable in all they do. I think it's one of the things that we notice most, I think, about the church nowadays. It's a great instability about it, isn't there? There's all this talk in the newspapers about the things that are happening to it, and people are talking about decline, and people are talking about churches breaking up or breaking away, or people running off to join the other churches or whatever, and or people hopping from church to church. I met a woman the other day. We were her ninth church. It's this lack of ability to endure and persevere that is a mark of too many of us today, that we are not strong in our faith, but we are rather weak. We are double-minded and unstable. And the list continues, for example, in Romans 5, endurance produces strength and character. And Paul prays to Colossians that they may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. The point is, you see, that you and I will not get very far in the Christian faith unless we start coming to terms with the fact that God works in this way. He develops character and faith and trust through these characteristics of patient endurance and perseverance. In fact, they are at the very heart of the work that he wishes to do within us. And until and unless we come to terms with these factors, we are going to miss out on everything that God wants to give us. Let me then end with one illustration. In today's gospel, and you have it before you, in the middle of your notice sheets. In today's gospel, Jesus clearly sets out his intentions in telling the parable about the widow and the unjust judge. There is in verse 1. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. I like the King James Version, and not to faint. Not to give up, in other versions. Now, I know that sometimes when we look at Jesus' parables, sometimes you have to interpret them. They are pictures of something else. They point to a deeper and sometimes a hidden reality, spiritual reality. So sometimes you need to sit down and think, what does this mean? But here, it's straightforward. Jesus wants us to do two things. The first is to pray always. And the second is never to lose heart or faint or give up. Straightforward. To pray always. Never to lose heart, to faint, or give up. The first thing, he wants us to pray always. It's a simple command, which we, I think, very often are intent on complicating. I can think of another responses to any call to pray, any sermon I've ever preached on prayer. I haven't got the time. I'm too busy. Somebody once said, are you too busy to eat? No. Why? Because if I don't eat, I'll die. Well, what about prayer? What does a lack of prayer do to you? I haven't got the time, I'm too busy. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. Or even praying is hard and demanding. And so the list goes on. What do you think would Jesus' response be to those words? Jesus says, pray, he told the parable so that we would pray always. And second, that when we pray, we should never give up praying or lose heart. Why? Because, says the parable, there's someone on the other end of your prayer who is always listening and will always, according to his wisdom and his will always answer that prayer. Often in ways in which you don't understand. And I'm not just talking in terms of asking him things. Because I think there's something much deeper than asking things. I think in the process of asking, you will find something else happening within you. You will find that you will be growing. But the way the prayer works is that you have to pray often in order to discover and feel confident in your praying. The more, how do you pray? How do you learn to pray? Answer, pray. How do I pray? Well, just pray. Say the Lord's Prayer. Tell God what troubles you. Just sit in his presence. But the point is, pray. The way prayer works is the more you pray, the more you will grow in confidence. We want guarantees, though, don't we? We want to know before we even sit down to pray that God's going to answer. Because if God's not going to answer, perhaps even in the way that we want to, then why pray? We want to know. We want stone, cast iron guarantees. We want to know the prayer is worth it first, and that God will give us what we want. And when we know that for certain, that God will answer in that way, well, then we will pray. You see, we're setting down conditions. But that is to miss the whole point of what Jesus is making. And your point is comes right at the very end of the passage, in verse 8. And yet, says Jesus, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? How do you develop a life of trust? You trust somebody. How do we trust? Learn to trust God? We pray. What is the life of faith except developing a relationship with God? It's not about believing things. It's about developing a life relationship with God so that we can learn that he is trustworthy. That we can trust him completely in everything. And the way to developing that trust and to deepening it is through prayer. And it is through persevering in the life of prayer. Not by fits and starts, but sustaining that prayer life. To pray, in other words, always. If you pray little, then guess what? You will trust little. But if you persevere in prayer, what you will find is that you will grow in trust of God. So perseverance and patience and endurance are fundamental to our Christian walk. Don't expect quick answers. Don't expect an easy ride. Don't expect that you can just breeze along in the Christian faith. It's a battle. It's work as much as any else. It's about coming to terms with these important characteristics. And God, when he deals with you, will delay answers to prayer. He will not always jump in when you're having a trial or a difficulty, when the car doesn't start in the morning. Sometimes he does, yes. It happened to me only this week. Sometimes things do happen. Sometimes people do get healed. Sometimes people don't. Or it will take a long time. Or it will never happen, but something else will happen in that individual. And we've seen that in the life of at least two people in the parish at the moment who are very poorly at the moment. Is that God's not answering their prayers in terms of healing, but something else richer and deeper and more wonderful is going on in their lives at the moment. So please, put that back in your vocabulary. It's there, right in the centre of the Bible. Till we come to terms with these three words, endurance and patience and perseverance, we will miss out on a whole lot. In fact, the majority of what God wants to do in us and for us and through us. Let's pray.